Okay, go.
It's Wednesday night, and after 24 hours of adventure, exploration, many hours of twisty turny roads.
Oh man.
With the destination points being absolutely magnificent. We're now ready to take on the final three. And this is the second of the ones in the culture bearer or householder category. Aries. We did the water one. Now we're going to do the fire one. And just to, as a reminder, the schemata that we're looking at these four, it refers to the four basic roles in the culture from one generation to the next.
Quick question. We are to recognize that as Aries simply because the song was named Fire, or you lost me. That.
No. I put on the song because I think of all the songs I have, and most represents Aries. And it just happened, and it's fast and strong and a marshal, and it just happened to be also named Red.
Got it.
Which is always the song, the color that is usually associated with Mars.
It's based on Mars.
It's based on the classical piece of music. Called Mars.
And Melissa's last name was our resident Aries.
Red, indeed. Yes.
Thank you for pointing that out.
So I'm putting the music in order to. I spent a lot of time trying to come up with a piece of music that most captures the essence of the mystery school. You don't have to like it. It's not like I'm going to come up with music that you necessarily like, but it's to emphasize the qualities of it. I mean, people who are more Aquarian, Sagittarian, are going to like a more ethereal sounding song. If I was really going to be a rascal here, I have some other Scorpio music and some other Aries music and some other music that would clear the room. But it really captures the essence of those energies. So I really have tried to make it something that at least you stay in the room for.
Well, you got me close. You got close on that.
Well, see, for me, I have probably listened to that piece of music 1,000 times. In fact, every time I hear it, I hear something new in it. So we all have
different tastes.
But you have an Aquarius moon, so of course we would expect that. You know, so anyway, so when you want to sit and explore all 12 mystery schools, then you're open to having compassion for all the places on the wheel. Uh-huh. If you wanted to just know about Aquarius, then there's a whole bunch of music you can listen to on Maui almost everywhere.
All day long.
So, anyway, fire, Aries, but I was to start, I wanted to refresh the space regarding the four culture bearer mystery schools. These are the ones that from one generation to the next perpetuate and sustain culture from one generation to the next. We looked at that with regards to providing nourishment, Cancer. Now, this is the main role in culture from one generation to the next, which could be thought of as the protectors. The ones that protect the family, the ones that protect the country, protect the whatever they have a noble cause or purpose for. So one of the ways we define Aries is having an absolutely, totally, complete, all-in, black-and-white commitment to a cause or a purpose, a noble cause or purpose. And whenever Aries, wherever it is on the chart, if a person with that particular type of Aries, if Aries is strong on the chart somewhere, the person is going to be most unhappy if they don't have an all-in black-and-white mission and purpose statement. Because it's the quest for one. And when you have it, then you know, it's like you can't wait to get up in the morning. You know, it's like the lowest common denominator for Aries culturally would be like the soldier. And if you really are dharmically a soldier, what you want more than anything is a good war. You don't want to have to think about, you know, is this a good war? I mean, if you trust in your leader, then you're ready to go. You have a skill set, and that's what you do. It's not to think about the subtleties of it. This applies not just obviously to warriors or soldiers. One of my favorite analogies for this would be in the animal kingdom, the imagery of a mother bear. And the mother bear has the sense that the cubs are under attack. And the bear attains supernatural strength in defense of the cubs. It's not mother nurturer, mother protector. One of my all-time favorite historical images for Aries, in the feminine here, is this historical figure by the name of Queen Boudica. And when her little kingdom in the British Isles was under attack, her generals wouldn't fight. The Romans were coming and they wouldn't fight, so she decided to lead the troops into battle herself. Pictures of her with long red hair, sword raised, horseback, full battle gear. And it is said that the invading soldiers fled the battlefield in terror. He needs the light for the filming. She was such a fierce protector of her people. There's also another interesting image there mythically, which is of the goddess Sekhmet. And when the invading soldiers came down from the north to invade Egypt, she was the last to get off the battlefield. It is said that the only way they got her off the battlefield was to get her drunk. She wanted to make sure that every invading soldier was completely dispatched. There's no empathy. There's just the mission and purpose statement alone. There's also a connection with Aries to in India. We talked before about, for Leo, it was the Brahmin caste, you know, the bloodline of the priests or the family. In India, it would be Brahmins as the upper caste. And for Aries, it was the Kshatriya caste, which was just down from it. They were the ones who protected the ruling class, protected the Brahmins and so on. So it's kind of like the palace guard. Or another example of this might be the samurai in Japan, who are amazing in all of their talents and abilities and skill sets. You know, I mean, they basically have taken all the trainings, but they're not making the policy. They serve a lord. And as long as they believe in that, you know, as long as there's not proof that there's something wrong with that lord, they are totally on purpose with their mission and statement. Then there, in Japan, they have the word Ronin, R-O-N-I-N, the rogue samurai. So let's say the samurai discovers that the lord they serve is a scoundrel. Then they wander the earth looking for something worth doing. They're looking for some other way they can use their skills in a worthy mission or purpose. Shadow, this is like a shadow expression, but it's well known in the Western world with the imagery of the Vietnam War or Gulf War vet who comes home from the war. And it's not so much that he might end up not believing in the war, it's just that when he comes back, there's nothing for him to do. There's not any longer a mission and purpose statement for that individual. So when you look on the chart, if there's a strong Aries component, that individual is desirous of finding that all-in black and white mission and purpose statement. And what I find really interesting about this is that in the culture, frequently, masculinity is given that definition. Having a mission and purpose statement. Now, of course, if you followed along with the mystery school so far, you know that we're not really relating this to gender. So there's a version of the feminine that has exactly the same definition. Having a mission and purpose statement. So with the Aries version of the feminine, Venus and Aries, Aries rising, then we have this psychological archetype that's called Warrior Amazon. So now we're looking at the third of our Amazonian expressions. We had Vision Quest Amazon in the category of In Service to Spirit. We had the Amazon Queen, Leo, when we were looking at the signs of self-interest. And now we have Warrior Amazon. And the word warrior here would be the word being used here to mean having this fierce, all-in, black-and-white commitment to a noble cause. Noble cause or purpose. When we see men who are working with Aries, the highest expression of it is nobility. Nobility. The nobility of the husband protecting his family or caring about the woman in his life. The nobility of keeping a commitment. In fact, the word commitment is really strongly associated with Aries. When you make the commitment, now I'm not saying every person with a lot of Aries has necessarily made a commitment. I'm saying that's what it is that works for them. To not have ambiguity about it is absolutely the most black and white expression that we have in astrology. It's kind of like one end of the spectrum, Aries, maybe the other end of the spectrum would be something like Virgo. Infinitely complex, multifaceted, multi-layered. Well, the power and the strength of Aries is actually its straightforwardness and simplicity. I didn't say superficial, although some who are used to the other approaches of intimacy have made that judgment. Over the 43 years that I've been doing astrology, I have stacks of files of women who have had the experience of being with these Aries-type men. And, you know, I have compassion for them. Because if they're with the sort of lowest common denominator of it, I mean, there's really no interest in the subtleties of intimacy. It's black and white. And fast. That's the other factor. Now, the word that is used often for Aries is velocity addict. So it's fast and hard. Let's get to the goal quickly. Now we go back to that analogy regarding climbing a mountain. You remember why Aries wanted to climb a mountain? Get to it first. Or to just prove that you can do it. It's often associated with competition. Competition. Now, you know, in the last 30 years, that word is not liked very much. Competition. Part of that problem is the fact that it has been grafted together with the more recent ethics in professional sports. You know, winning is the only thing. That is not the actual bottom line for Aries. It's more the absolute thrill of competing at a high level. Two champion tennis players, where sure, they want to win the match, but if they're at that level of competition, it's just a total delight to be engaged at that level of competition. I'm always, the example that came to me long ago is an actual story. Maybe some of you know something about baseball, maybe not, but there's a fairly famous baseball player named Pete Rose. And there was a World Series, and in the sixth game of the World Series, he was an amazing game, and he was on a team called Cincinnati, and they lost. They lost in an amazing game, end of the World Series. And they go into the dugout, and you know how it's always like they go in and some of the agony of defeat, and you know, and people are crying, and you know, they're miserable because they've lost. And they go to him, and he's like elated. You know, wasn't that the most incredible game? It was just like an amazing privilege to be engaged in that. And you know, the interviewer doesn't know what to do. You know, it's like, but hey, Pete, well, how does it feel to lose? You know? What are you doing? It's an amazing game. You know? So, I mean, that's another way of, from a completely different angle. Early versions of warfare, like among Native Americans and among indigenous people, it would be this thing called counting coup. You know, you go to battle, you demonstrate your prowess by actually touching the person where they would die. You don't kill them. And then that person knows, yep, you got me. And that ended the competition. Very, very Aries-like approach there. Now, this black and whiteness in and of itself has its own shadow. Twice in my life I've known Aries moon men that have said things. I'll paraphrase what one of them once said. He says, I have waited 13,000 years for the great battle between the light and the dark. Bring it on! Which is sort of like the culmination of what Aries has been for the last 13,000 years. So if we, you know, I suggested here that on our final meeting, one of the things I'm going to give you is homework. And then to prepare for our final meeting is you're going, those of you in different rising signs, you're going to present something which is like the proposal for the new mystery school. You know, what would the new Aries look like? What would the new Scorpio look like? And what would be on the other side of I've waited 13,000 years for the battle between light and dark, bring it on? The closest thing I've ever heard anyone say about this new Aries archetype is something like the imagery, the warrior of peace. But certainly that commitment to peace, it just seems to me, I mean, Aries risings can come up with a plan, but it seems to me that it's got to be something that transcends the downside of just increasing the octave of black against white or white against black, you know, of the dualism of winning and losing. There's got to be something else that comes out from it. But it's certainly you're getting the sense of what I'm sharing with you. There's nothing wimpy about it. There's a tremendous strength of will and purpose with this particular mystery school. Back to men with Mars and Aries. On a cultural level, and then I'm going to go back to that example of the women that I said I had compassion for when they would share with me their experiences of having Mars and Aries or Aries moon boyfriends. You see, if you're the type of woman who likes being with a man who absolutely every moment knows what he wants, then Aries is for you. Like, for example, the type of woman who goes out on a date and the man never asks you what music you want to hear. He just puts it on. He never says what movie should we go to. He just takes you there. There's this complete, you might say it's a control trip, not necessarily. That's just, and when, there's plenty of women like that too, by the way, so we're not just putting this on men. It's a characteristic of taking charge, and it's not even thinking. This is the intuitive function. It's kind of like, I know this is what we do now. And certain kinds of women, they like that. Certain kinds of men like that. I have Aries on the descendant. I love women who do that. As a matter of fact, the three times in my life when I met a woman who behaved like that toward me, I married them. You know, it's what a relief to not have to be the cultural male role. Well, if the man has Mars and Aries, well, yeah, sure. I mean, this caricature of it, you know, he certainly drives his car differently than other people. He does.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's like, that. You see people like this, like in traffic. It's like they'll do anything to get around the next car. And even though they might only arrive at the destination a couple minutes ahead.
Ask Alan about his dragon.
Is he Aries? Yeah, Aries Sun. Yeah. And Aries Mars. Ask him
about his dragon.
So the gods and goddesses here. Obviously from Greek philosophy, mythology, Aries, Mars. You know, the name for Mars to the Greeks is Aries. And it's really intriguing. There's a book that I would highly recommend, even though it's a hard read. It's the last book that James Hillman wrote before he died. He even predicted in the book that this book would be his last book, and it would kill him writing it.
What's his last name?
Hillman. And there's some astrology in the book. He says, I have a lot of astrologer friends, and they tell me I have lots of Aries. And the name of the book is A Terrible Love of War. And where he basically goes into his view about monotheistic religions and modern warfare. And his view is the reason why monotheistic religions have a bloodlust and require jihads and crusades and lots of blood and death is because they don't know how to deal with the god Ares. Because the Greeks did know how to deal with the god Ares. They gave him 40 acres outside the city and let him just run wild in the fields and to get his energy out, you know. That's how they dealt with him. And so his view of monotheistic religions is the result of the suppression of Aries.
From a certain viewpoint, isn't function of sports supposed to be
there? Yeah, it is. Absolutely. In fact, I was so into sports when I was young, and I've sometimes romanticize and fantasize and say, well, here, the world I would like to live in would be where the most extreme melodrama, the greatest stress anybody would ever have in their life, is following their favorite team.
Well, we're Seahawks there.
But here's the thing, we're still they're going to tell that ass outside of the baseball stadium, the football stadium. We're still doing it. So
right.
It doesn't really mean.
No, it doesn't. That's an attempt to do what Hillman says we're not doing a good enough job.
Another avenue where we preserve our lives.
You will also see Aries in play when you see a couple teenagers. You know, they start pushing each other, you know, they're testing each other. And then it looks like they're going to have a fight. And they start to have a fight. But it isn't long before they're rolling on the ground together, and then they're buds. You know, it's a way of getting at that sort of field energy, that energetics that goes with Aries out. But then again, it has certainly been my experience, this is not just about men. There are the warrior Amazon, corporate Amazon women that are exactly the same energy. And so it's like, in fact, we could look at the Leo and Aries archetype as where stage two femininity has gotten itself trapped, which is to take on the Amazonian roles, which show up being like the shadow of patriarchal achievement. Now, what would be the healthy version of it? All I can do is say, that's what we're exploring. And you all, the women who have those archetypes, you're working on stage three. It would be way beyond my own, it would be somewhat arrogant and wrong for me to try to suggest what that's going to look like. All I know is what is not the healthy expression of it. In the same way men can certainly know that men stuck in stage two need to get somewhere else. So, any questions so far about Aries? Actually, I thought a couple more things we need to say here. Even men, the Aries type, and there's a certain cultural story about this. Like the soldier or maybe a guy's married, he has a family, and he is on the road, on the campaign trail. He just has to go out and fight the battle of some kind. And when he's on the road, he does stuff. He fools around or whatever. This is the type of guy that if he's confronted, if he's found out, his reaction is, that didn't mean anything. And he would still put his entire energy into defending and fighting for his woman and child. Very common story. This is way different than the actual Don Juan types or the ones that are just out experimenting. Of course, in warfare, you have what's called the spoils of war, where you, after the battle, there's any number of women that are there we're here, and you won the battle, and we get to be with you tonight. But as far as that changing his commitment to his noble cause or purpose, it doesn't. Now, I'm just telling some stories. I'm not in any way trying to say what's right or wrong or good or bad. We're just looking at that energy.
Odyssey is a good example of it.
Yeah. Really?
The Odyssey?
And so in your case, here, John, if I might use you as an example here. You have that renuncia, troubadour, minstrel, shamanic, Don Juan clan from the past. Mars and Aries, Cancer rising. Isn't that an interesting change of gear?
Cosmic joke.
Huh? Well, yeah, but it's like if women knew that your sincere intent was all in commitment and actually wanting to settle down, and that's authentic. Not that they need to change you or fix you. That's a big change of gears. Yes, Melissa.
I met you through Dr. Christian Northrup.
Yes.
Who wrote Women's Bodies, Women's Ways and Men.
Right.
Does she have Aries or Leo? What's in her chart?
Venus and Scorpio.
Venus and Scorpio. Yeah. What was her rising?
I'm not remembering
no,
at the moment.
Oh.
No, I'm not really remembering. But what I can tell you is that when I met her at an event and told her about Venus and Scorpio, it actually freed her and gave her a completely new phase of life. She had permission to actually be that woman.
Yeah, I am a Marcus.
So this can actually happen, quote, later in life.
Yeah, that's when she started tango. She started tango.
So did they.
No, like you changed for a lot. I don't know if it was I still listen to radio. You like changed for a lot.
Let's just say that I gave her a clue so that she could be more authentically herself. Yeah.
You gave her permission.
Yeah.
I have a question about Aries, and you might get to this later in your synthesis, but I've met a couple of women recently that had Venus in Aries and had heavy Pisces in their chart. And I sometimes don't understand how those...
Would you like to comment on that?
Sometimes I just don't see what the healthy integration is.
Yeah. Well, the challenge, and this also depends on generation too, because I was raised in a generation where women were taught to be more taken care of and giving over their desire to the man. You know, that was how my mother did her relationships, and that was kind of how I modeled my relationships. And so I lived more out of the Pisces part of it than Aries wasn't even in the picture for a long time. But as I reached age 40, as I was starting to reach age 40, I started to become more aware of it. And I stopped telling people I was a Pisces sun, so they'd stop projecting Pisces onto me, and started telling them I was Aries, so that I could get more of that into that energy. And so,
was it one or the other, or there was that?
Well, for me, I experienced a split initially, and I had to kind of move from one to the other to get even a sense of what I wanted was really difficult because of the Pisces overlay. And I also have Neptune opposite my Venus, which adds more Pisces to it. And that's still somewhat of a challenge. But what I feel happens for me is that I am 100% committed to the things I put my energy into. When I had my children, I was 100% committed to being a mom. When I got involved in shamanic astrology, I'd been 100% committed to this work. And so that part of the Aries shows up really strong. But it always is coming through the filter of Pisces. So it's not the kind of Aries that's in your face, really intense and just, you know, this is the way I want it and this is going to be how it happens. It always comes through a sensitivity to what other people are feeling and going through, and so, and I care. You know, and people always tell me I'm nice, which is...
Your kindler, gentler version of Venus and Aries.
Of Aries, yeah. So that Pisces...
That's what I was saying about you today, actually.
Yeah. Your Pisces is your rising?
No, my Pisces is my son.
Let me just interject something on this question, because this could be applied to all of them. Let's say that every woman in here has Venus and Aries, but all of the possibilities of sun sign with Venus and Aries are in the room. They're all Venus and Aries. The intent for all is Venus and Aries. But if you burn Pisces fuel, it's way different than if it's Aries, Venus, and Sun Sun and Aries and Venus and Aries. They're both the same. Another interesting variation is Venus and Aries with a Taurus sun. You know, there's only certain ones that can be there. It's only when the sun and Venus are the same, then you get like a 100%. It's just only that. All Venus, I've never seen a Venus and Aries woman with Pisces sun that was the full-on caricature of the wildness of the ones that run with the wolves.
You know? Ferrari on like organic biodiesel.
The other thing for me is that when I commit to a relationship or to anything, I am 100% loyally committed to that until it is no longer sustainable, and sometimes it is very painfully made obvious to me that I cannot, no matter how much I put my energy into that, it's not going to work. And then I'll let it go. But, yeah.
So,
yeah.
This, you're talking of Aries as this commitment, but I always think of Aries as very independent.
No, it's been a long time. Actually, I should mention here that in all the years I've been doing this, probably the two archetypes that have shifted the most from the very beginning have been Gemini and Aries. And particularly when we were able to see that the four so-called cardinal signs, the culture bearer ones, occurring in that category. I've been able to so more get into what the essence of this Aries thing is. Some of them can be lone wolves. They can go off on their own, but going off on their own is always in combination with this, you know, what they're doing it for, their mission. Very different than Sagittarius, which, you know, it's nothing to do with anything to do with the people back there in the town unless they've been hired to be the explorer trail scout. You know. So that, and I guess since I got this insight about it, it's never failed when I see a person where Aries is the intention, Aries rising, Venus in Aries for a woman, Mars in Aries for a man. Never seen it fail that the thing they most want is that clarity of their mission and purpose. And when they don't have it, it's like they're, like, in some sense,
a Ronin.
They're a Ronin. They're lost. And they can behave in very destructive ways, actually.
I can totally agree. Mm-hmm. I have Venus conjunct the sun in Aries. And as long as I had my total purpose, it's very directed. You know, and I can lead a whole group of people to a project or define and book publishing, whatever, anything, as long as there's a purpose there.
Right.
But as soon as that's pulled away, then it's like a free fall. Right. And it's like, you know, where is it now? And where is it?
So the last point on this would be that, so if a man happens to be involved with a woman with Venus in Aries or Aries rising, how can he most value her? By completely getting off on the fact that she has a mission and purpose. To actually help her in having that be her leading edge. Which is really, you know, like getting off on her strength and her sense of purpose and will. It's so different than, you know, the way that the feminine principle is usually perceived.
And a supportive role.
Right. Yeah, you know, we're...
I just want to say one other thing,
right,
too, is that my second husband asked me to choose between him and my work. With shamanic astrology, and he wanted me to prove to him that I loved him more than my work, and he asked me not to go to events that I had already committed to going to. I was like, "Are you crazy?" And that was the end of that.
I had that exact same experience.
Yeah.
Okay, so we do need to move on so we can get.